Isn't this a sports show?
I'm not calling for Alex Smith to get shipped out of town.
Almost entirely.
I will carry Alex Smith to the airport on my back, like a koala.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Excuse me. I'm talent. I'm talent, sir. Unhand me.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
I'm sorry, what were you saying the past 5 minutes or so?
Keep up with the show on Twitter at JB Briscoe.
Do I come across as thoroughly hateable as I toot my own horn on this Royals thing?
Well, I'm tooting your horn.
What?
Damn it.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Ah, welcome in, welcome in. We've got 2 full hours again today, so there are plenty of absurd things that we are going to eventually talk about. We're going to talk about Kevin Durant's secret Instagram and secret Twitter accounts. We're going to talk about why NBA 2K18 can suck it. And we're going to talk about me going to see It tonight, which is a real thing that's happening. Charlie's here. We're going to talk about It, I promise, later on, eventually. We're going to talk Chiefs first. Hold on for the ride for now. Charlie, and I know you're busy, but I do have a direct question for you. You mouthed the phrase, "I want to see that," whenever I mentioned that I'm going to see It tonight. If you want, I can send you the screenshot of my movie ticket, and you can go on a date with my girlfriend.
Sounds good. Yeah.
All right, I'll let her know.
Yeah, cool.
Because I'm not super jazzed about this.
You're not a clown fan?
Clowns are fine. I'm fine with clowns. I don't want a horror movie in my life, really. I could do without that. But we're going to go see that tonight. So later on, we'll talk about all of my concerns about that. As always, you can listen to the show on ESPN Kansas City, 99.3 FM, 1510 AM. The podcasts are all available if you search Almost Entirely Sports wherever you get your podcasts. And are we on Facebook currently? Ooh, 1 second, Charlie says. All right, so we're on Facebook Live except for the part wherever I offered Charlie a date with my girlfriend. That's as if that wouldn't have been the best possible thing to introduce someone to the show with. But we have lots of Chiefs things to talk about. Also, eventually, again, NBA 2K18 and Kevin Durant's secret Twitter. That will all come a little bit later down the road, probably second hour. We'll see. But I've been thinking about a bunch of Chiefs things last night after the show and today. Things we didn't even get close to getting in our single hour yesterday. That we're going to have some chances to expand on today. And there's a phrase that I haven't really said about the Chiefs probably as long as I've been on the radio. I might have said it on my podcast a few times back in the day. But I've given a lot of reason for why I don't think the Chiefs have been legitimate Super Bowl contenders. Regular season contenders, yeah. Super Bowl contenders, not really. There's another level that the Chiefs haven't ascended to. And I think now, for 2017, I think the Chiefs are Super Bowl contenders. But not necessarily for the reasons that you would expect. This is something that I never fully anticipated. But for me, the problem was, can the Chiefs take a step up to the next level, whatever the next level means, in air quotes? Can they take a step up to the next level with what they have? And I've said no. But it's starting to look like the next level has come to meet the Chiefs. And this is not to knock anything they've done successfully so far. This is not to critique Alex Smith in a new way, because I've just been so thoroughly mauled by Alex Smith in the first 2 weeks that I am merely the corpse of a hater who now slashes at the ankles of Alex Smith as he tramples up my body.
I'm not there. That's not me. I'm just surprised by what the NFL looks like right now. Because I think this is twofold, and we're going to look at this from both directions here, but I think this is a twofold issue. Not really, not an issue as in a problem. It's great. However you look at it, it's a great thing. But it's a twofold thing we have to look at here. Side one, the Chiefs haven't done very much to surprise me. And side two is looking at the rest of the NFL. Now, we'll start with the first side. The Chiefs have done some things that have surprised me. But as I said after the Patriots game, that was a team that was good enough to beat the Patriots. And they did it in a really repeatable fashion. Now, Alex Smith against the Patriots was a surprise. His performance in New England did surprise me. Absolutely kudos given there. Alex Smith against the Eagles looked like Alex Smith that we've seen 1,000 times before. And that is not a negative thing. It's just what we've seen from Alex Smith. And it was enough to beat the Eagles, so it's cool with me. I get it. But Alex Smith surprised me against the Eagles. Excuse me, he did not surprise me against the Eagles. He did surprise me against the Patriots. And Alex Smith, I think, Pro Football Focus had a tweet today that said that Alex Smith has thrown for the most deep passing yards of anybody in football for passes that have traveled over 20 yards in the air. And that makes sense because he's thrown deep passes. A couple of them have just been tremendous throws, and that's inarguable. But like the one to Kareem Hunt, the one to the wide-open Tyreek Hill were not 70-yard bombs. They ended up traveling for 70 yards. The throw to Kareem Hunt was stupendous. The throw to Tyreek Hill was there because he was open. You got to make that throw, and he did. It was great. I'm realizing this about myself in these first couple of weeks. I get kind of defensive in my criticisms of Alex Smith because I'm waiting for someone to attack me for still pointing out things that absolutely just do exist. But I'm going to try to do less of that. So I don't want to come through as someone who hates Alex Smith. I don't hate Alex Smith. I hate Andy Dalton, and I hate Blake Bortles, and I hate Scott Tolzien, and I hate Bill O'Brien. I don't hate Alex Smith at all. Alex Smith was a breath of fresh air in this town's quarterback situation. I just also have not seen him be a guy that I believe can win a Super Bowl. But he surprised me against New England, and the landscape has changed. Before we get to the landscape, a couple of other things on the Chiefs that have surprised me. I want to make sure that I touch on the things that have or haven't surprised me that you may think would surprise me. Kareem Hunt looking like this guy has surprised even me. I was very high on Kareem Hunt, very optimistic about what he would do in this offense and for this offense. And even I have been surprised by just how good Kareem Hunt has been. And how quickly. If you had told me that Kareem Hunt would look like this 2 years from now, I would have been ecstatic. 2 games into his NFL career? Yeah, that's a surprise. Even from someone who was optimistic about Kareem Hunt. Justin Houston looking like the Justin Houston isn't really a surprise, but it's insanely exciting. It's something we didn't know if it was going to show up or not, so you can chalk that up as a surprise if you want. It was just something we were wondering, will this come to fruition? And it has, and it's great news for the Chiefs. But here's where the landscape has shifted. This is why I think that the Chiefs being a Super Bowl contender now is something that you can say pretty definitively, even though the Chiefs haven't particularly surprised me so far. They haven't done things I didn't expect them to be capable of, other than the way that Alex Smith was performing in New England and Kareem Hunt. The Patriots were undressed by Andy Reid. The Steelers are a different team on the road. The Packers are beatable. The Seahawks looked bad on Sunday. The Falcons are beatable by the team that the Chiefs undressed in week one. the landscape has changed. Pivot over to ESPN's power rankings that came out today. I'm never going to be rage-filled about any power rankings. I'm never going to say, oh, the Chiefs should be ranked this, but they're ranked this. I just let it breathe. But I do think it brings an interesting way to discuss this. Number one on this set of power rankings are the Atlanta Falcons. They won at Chicago and at home versus Green Bay. And I don't have a problem with them being number one on the power rankings list. But I don't think that those resume that resume of wins is better than what the Chiefs have done. What's more impressive, winning at home versus Green Bay or winning in New England? I'll take winning in New England. What's more impressive, winning at Chicago or winning at home versus the Eagles? I think it's winning at home versus the Eagles. Those are close, I guess, because road games are just harder. But I think the Chiefs have the better two wins there. Number two is the Chiefs, and I think very rightfully so. They went at New England, then at home versus the Eagles. Number three on this list is Pittsburgh, who barely beat the Browns in Cleveland and then beat the Vikings at home with Case Keenum at quarterback for Minnesota because Sam Bradford was out. Number four on the list, New England, loses at home to Kansas City, then wins in New Orleans. Number five is the Raiders. They win at Tennessee and then at home versus the Jets. Again, winning at Tennessee is a hard thing to do. It's a good team. On the road, opening day. That's not winning at New England. And beating the Jets at home is nowhere near as impressive as beating the Eagles at home. The Chiefs have the best resume in football. And the way they've done it leaves me sort of asking these large-scale questions of, well, why shouldn't they be considered Super Bowl contenders? Now, I think there's an argument still to be had for, hey, I've seen 12 years of Alex Smith. Two games of Alex Smith isn't going to completely redefine how I think about him. That's totally fair. I'm in that place. I'm more hopeful about what the rest of this Alex Smith season is going to look like because of those first two games. But I'm not 100% sold. Why would I be? Optimistic. Not sold. I'm more or less sold on Kareem Hunt, though. I'm sold on Travis Kelce. I'm sold on Tyreek Hill. But I'm sold on those guys, well, with the exception of Kareem Hunt, on more than two games. And I'm sold on what I've seen from them being very, very repeatable. And that, frankly, again, as I mentioned, I think last week at one point, it's one of the reasons that I am buying into what we've seen from Alex Smith. Weapons make quarterbacks better. And I wrote a little thing on it for Arrowhead Addict. I think that was Wednesday's show last week. I'm not sure. You can find the podcast, though. I wrote up a little thing for Arrowhead Addict along with the podcast. And I think, I can't remember where it was summarized like this. I think it was an Arrowhead Addict tweet summarized it to say that Alex Smith is benefiting from the Chiefs' weapons and that's a good thing. And that's true. And that is a way of summarizing what I said. But it's not the most important thing I wanted to point out. And again, I feel like it's something I have to say now because I don't want to come through as someone who just cannot say a positive thing about Alex Smith without it being a backhanded compliment. Alex Smith is benefiting from his weapons right now and everything he has around him, as does every quarterback. Andy Dalton stays in the league because AJ Green is there. Tom Brady's best year came with Randy Moss on his team. Rob Gronkowski and Aaron Hernandez were an incredible tight end duo for Tom Brady. It lifted the offense to another level. Then it's just Gronk, obviously. Whenever Gronk is out, that offense is different. Whenever Julian Edelman is out, that offense is different. I'm guessing that Drew Brees was really upset to lose Brandon Cooks. But you have these guys step into these roles where they are obviously symbiotic relationships. Great quarterbacks make weapons show up out of nowhere. I get it. But it's not a one-way street. It's never a one-way street. You think it's any wonder that Aaron Rodgers is a better quarterback whenever he has Jordy Nelson out there? Of course not. Odell Beckham is a complete game changer for Eli Manning. Limited last night, but I think he's still a ways from being back. Me saying that Alex Smith is severely elevated by the weapons around him at this point is not a knock on Alex Smith. It's just an evaluation that's true for literally every quarterback in the league. The very, very best transcend that to some extent. And I'm not willing, sorry, I'm not willing to put Alex Smith in that spot. I don't really want to fight on that. I think it's kind of a silly thing to do, whatever. But that's where I am at this point with the Chiefs, that I think they're a Super Bowl contender. But it's not because of anything shocking I saw in the first 2 weeks, which is good, by the way. I feel like I should have mentioned that sooner. The Chiefs looking like a Super Bowl contender right now, and largely not surprising us with how they've won, is a good thing for their actual Super Bowl potential. If they won in these fluky ways, I would be more concerned about the things that remain question marks. But the Chiefs were really good through the first 2 weeks. They looked really good. They looked really good in repeatable ways. They looked really good in ways that I think you largely could have expected them to look good. Again, Alex Smith against New England was a surprise. Kareem Hunt being this good this soon is a little bit of a surprise. But the landscape seems to be shifting. The cutoff point for who is and who is not a Super Bowl contender right now is not so clear. Because let's look around the Chiefs again in these arbitrary power rankings, but it's going to collect those best teams here at the top. Are the Falcons a Super Bowl contender? Sure. Are the Steelers? Sure. Are the Patriots? Sure. Are the Raiders? Sure. Are the Packers? Sure. Are the Broncos at 17 here? I'm going to pass. I'd also pass on the Cowboys at 8. They have a lot of problems right now. Seahawks, sure. Ravens, pass. Bucks, pass. Lions, pass. Panthers, pass. Titans, probably not. Eagles, probably not. Vikings, probably not. But the Vikings had a week one comparable to the Chiefs in some ways. They just lost Sam Bradford, though, knee injury. Washington, pass. Dolphins, pass. Giants, no. Texans, no. Cardinals, no. Everybody below that, no. But do you see kind of the gradient there? You know that nobody from at least the Giants down, that's 19 to 32. Those teams aren't doing anything. From 18 up to 10, it's a probably not. For is that team an actual contender? 9 on up, who knows? The target's moved, and it's moved closer to the Chiefs. It feels like the NFL is currently in a place of being in the midst of a war of attrition. Last team standing, last team healthy. The last of those top 10 teams to have most of their pieces together and to have a couple of breaks go their way. Those teams all have a real chance. And the Chiefs have a better chance than the Broncos do. Again, a team at 7 here. Which is just, I don't see that from them. They won 2 home games. I think we're at a really interesting place in the NFL right now. And for all of the discussion we had about Patrick Mahomes in the preseason and what's better for the Chiefs, having Mahomes start next year off of the bench, having him start next year after playing a full season, all those conversations we had as we sort of chased around that topic, the place where I think I most misevaluated the whole game at this point was in saying that I think the Patriots are a team that's going to keep everybody else in the AFC from contending. And I don't believe that anymore. My view of the Chiefs has elevated slightly. My view of everybody else the Chiefs have to beat has taken a step backwards. That's where I'm at right now. And again, I hope that doesn't come through as me trying to find a way to not praise the Chiefs because I'm a pessimist. Because that's really not where that comes from. Which is what I see right now. I'm just a whole lot less afraid of the Patriots. And again, I get it. Also, thanks to the Chiefs. Yeah, I understand. I do remember that game. But I'm less afraid of what all these other teams are bringing. The Chiefs can play their game against any of these teams and put up a W. All of them. You saw the Cowboys last week. Dak, you scared of Dak Prescott? Are you scared of Trevor Siemian? The Seahawks offense has scored one touchdown through two games. Are you scared of the Seahawks offense? Those are teams 7, 8, and 9. Again, power rankings are arbitrary, but to see where those teams cluster together. Then you go up. Are you scared of the Packers defensively? You think the Chiefs can put up some points on the Packers? I sure do. You think they're going to put up some points on the Raiders? Definitely think so. They put up some points against the Patriots? We've seen them do it. Are you shaking in your boots from what you've seen from Pittsburgh? Barely beating the Browns in Cleveland and beating Case Keenum? I don't think we've seen a real picture of the Steelers yet. I think they're going to beat everybody at home. They're going to lose a couple of head scratchers on the road. Largely including, very likely including the Chiefs. Wouldn't be a head scratcher necessarily. I think the Chiefs probably be favored in that game. You scared of the Falcons? I think they're a really good team. I think they're a really good team that the Chiefs would only have to play in the Super Bowl. And I think this Chiefs defense could manage Matt Ryan. I do. The NFL is absolutely packed to the brim with flawed teams right now. I wouldn't want to have to see the Chiefs play the Patriots again. I would love for this to be a 1-0 series this year. But if they have to match up again, all right. I can live with that. I think they could manage. I certainly think they can manage against everybody else. Listen, I don't want to see Aaron Rodgers get to try to find Phillip Gaines in the secondary for 60 minutes. That's not something I'm looking forward to. But if that happens in the Super Bowl, I guess I would look forward to it. So that's where I'm at right now. And again, this is only positive. And I'm a little bit hesitant because I'm afraid this is not going to come through to people who immediately think that I'm trying to not praise the Chiefs. I am praising the Chiefs. I think the best praise I can give is to say that this is pretty much a team we thought was coming. And without them doing anything crazy, without them taking some absurd next level step, they can hang with anybody else in football.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Alex Smith isn't a top 20 handsome quarterback? And Andy Dalton is?
With Joshua Briscoe.
How is Alex Smith not a top 20 quarterback in handsomeness?
On ESPN Kansas City.
Absolute travesty. Any list that has Blake Bortles and Andy Dalton over Alex Smith. Any list. Is and always has been completely absurd. Unless it's like a list of guys you wouldn't want to have either starting your football team or starting your family with.
We're all waiting for where Mahomes is on the handsomeness.
Oh, man. This came up. Somebody in a comment section, whenever we were doing this handsomeness thing, somebody in the comment section that said that Patrick Mahomes' handsomeness is too raw and needs a year to develop. It's really funny. It's really good. All right, welcome back to the show. I don't even need to say that because you would just, you know, you know that you're welcome here. We're talking about Chiefs this hour, and then eventually we might talk about something other than the Chiefs. I don't know. Don't rush me. As if you were rushing. I have no, like, imaging for this because it's not something that I was prepared to do today, but I actually came up with, like, the pun. I would like to hear on a weekly basis, frankly, and this is like a great like Tuesday segment. What are your chief concerns? But yeah, it's a pun. Because somebody tweeted in and asked, "What are you so worried about?" I said, "Huh, no. You're not gonna make me do my job. You do my job for me, and then you give me your chief concerns, your remaining concerns with the Kansas City Chiefs, and I will explain to you if those are things you should or should not be concerned about." Makes sense? Cool. Bryson just tapped in, though, and said, have you seen this? There's a tweet from NFL Updates. Kareem Hunt has as many touchdowns this season, 5, as the Bengals, 49ers, Bears, Seahawks, and Giants. Combined. Is that right? No, that doesn't make any sense. I think that tweet's wrong. I think he has more touchdowns than any of those teams do. I know that like the Giants and like the Bengals are not scoring. Well, the Seahawks also aren't. Charlie, do some recon on that. Recon's not really the word I wanted there, was it? What's when you're like undercover doing research, what would that be? Charlie, do that also. Find out what that is. Oh, man, now this is the one thing that's insane. The thing that I've got to get better at here in this whole radio deal is I got to get over these speed bumps better. Cause man, I'm not gonna be able to function until I know what that word is, and also until I know how many touchdowns the Bengals, Niners, Bears, Seahawks, and Giants have. It's really distressing. No, I'm trying to look it up, and I'm not going to... Charlie will get there first because he started sooner. He also isn't talking also. The Seahawks and Niners combined had no touchdowns last week. I think there's a chance this is actually all those teams combined. The Giants had one touchdown last night. The Bengals had no touchdowns in week 2. This is Bengals, Niners, Bears, Seahawks, and Giants. Charlie, I can't move. I can't go forward with this until I know. I think that might be true. Bengals didn't score
combined. It's not combined. How many touchdowns have more?
How many touchdowns do all those teams combined have? Because the Bengals haven't scored a touchdown yet this year, right? The Niners haven't. The Seahawks haven't. I think it might be combined. Okay, I'm going to move on. You tally that and come back to me whenever you know how many touchdowns those teams each have and then how many they have like combined. Bengals, Niners, Bears, Seahawks, and Giants. But now we go to this this new segment without imaging.
Chief concern. Pew, 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 pew.
Charlie, mark that so we can use that as the intro from now on. I feel like I nailed it. All right, so I asked, what is your chief concern going into week 3 here? Clint started this off and said, the Chiefs are ranked at number 1 by at least one power ranking source. Am I dreaming? I still have concerns. What are yours? That was the start of this. I also have concerns, I suppose. But I'm not, like, super shook by him. So Justin chimed in and said he's concerned about the left guard / center spot. He sent it in 7, so we're going to just go through this one by one. Left guard / center. I think Parker Ingram's going to take over that job whenever he comes back. Hopefully that's soon. But for the ups and downs of that spot, For the ups and downs of what the Chiefs are doing there currently with Brian Witzman, it's been solid enough. The Chiefs aren't going to face a front seven quite like what the Eagles brought last week for a very long time. And the Chargers have some real talent with, ooh man, I almost screwed up the Gordons and Ingrams, with Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram, not Melvin Gordon, but I will screw that up at some point during this Chargers-Chiefs game week. But I think the Chiefs will deal with that just fine. I think they're going to deal with most front sevens pretty well. I tend to think that the true offensive line is somewhere between what we saw in week one and in week two. They're not going to dominate every front seven like they did against New England, but they're also not going to get Alex Smith so battered around as they did against the Eagles. The center position, I'm totally cool with. Zach Fulton is a completely capable backup. As Mitch Morse is out, we heard yesterday that Mitch Morse will not be having surgery, probably just out a couple of weeks. I feel really good about managing that. I hope Parker Anger and Mitch Morse are both back as soon as possible, but I have a lot of confidence in Zach Fulton. We now go back over to the booth, Charlie Carlin, with a news update.
Wow. So Kareem Hunt has 5 touchdowns.
Yep.
He has the same amount as the Bengals, Niners, Giants, Dolphins, Texans, and Seahawks combined. So I was wrong.
You added teams there, I think.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's 6 NFL teams, and Kareem Hunt has the same amount of touchdowns as all of them combined.
All right, hit me with that again. I'm going to go ahead and pop this tweet out. Kareem Hunt.
Because the Bengals have 0. The Niners also have 0. The Giants only have 1. The Dolphins only have 1. The Texans have 2.
Well, the Dolphins have only played 1 game. That's
true.
Why.
True. I mean, if you want to subtract them out, you could...
Couldn't you replace them if the team has played 2 games? Bears? Are the Bears in there on your list?
No. Bears have 3 total. No, that wouldn't work. I mean, yeah, it wouldn't work.
But, okay, give me your list again.
Okay, so Bengals, Niners, Giants, Dolphins, Texans, and Seahawks.
Okay, last thing I'm going to do this. We just became the program. That's what just happened here. Give me the numbers for each of those teams again.
Bengals have 0. Niners have 0. Giants have 1. None to Brandon Marshall. Miami Dolphins have 1.
Somebody's fantasy team is salty. That's what that was, right?
The Texans, yeah. The Texans have 2. And Seattle Seahawks have 1.
That is incredible. Kareem Hunt has as many touchdowns, 5, as the Bengals, 0, Niners, 0, Giants, 1, Dolphins, 1, Texans, 2, and Seahawks, 1, combined. I'm going to tweet that out. I was just drafting that tweet, essentially.
And that's not just like... passing touchdowns or just pat rushing. That's total
touchdowns,
even
for
like
all of those
special
teams
and everything. It's crazy.
The bottom of the NFL is really bad, by the way. All right, I've tweeted that out, and I'm hoping that what I just said is factual and that your research wasn't bad.
Yeah, me too.
Chief Concerns. Back to Chief's Concerns. Chief's Concerns. Pew, 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 pew. Whoosh. Justin's number 2 Chief Concern is at the safety/nickel cornerback position. I'm at a weird place with the Chiefs defensive backs because I came into the season telling you that I feel like it's in good shape as long as it stays healthy. It hasn't stayed healthy, and I still feel okay about it. Peters at the 1, Mitchell at the 2, Ron Parker as one of the safeties. Those guys are rock solid. I feel very good about all of them. Steven Nelson being out, Eric Berry being out, obviously tears apart your other 2 positions there. But Eric Murray and Daniel Sorensen were both pretty good on Sunday. They both held that spot pretty well. And Philip Gaines in the slot seems to be back from his injuries at a decent place. He's not fantastic, but I also think that if you put him up against your average NFL team's number 3 corner, he would be about average. The Chiefs have an above-average number 1 corner, a slightly above-average number 2 corner, and maybe a slightly below-average number 3. That's workable. It's the guy that the great quarterbacks will try to exploit, but Tom Brady never really got the offense going. Carson Wentz, even, he threw the ball 40-some times, and his most memorable play of the game went off of Terrence Mitchell's hands and into Zach Ertz's hands. I think the secondary is in better shape than you might give it credit for, even with all the injuries. Even if you deal with the injuries, then still I think you've got a lot of space. I got a response to that Kareem Hunt tweet that I don't understand at all. It says, what if you throw the Chiefs in? Well, I mean, Kareem Hunt doesn't have more touchdowns than the Chiefs. Maybe he means the rest of the Chiefs. Charlie, you can decide if you want to do that research or not. Charlie seems very excited about doing more research. Number three on the Chief concern from Justin, again, where I let you, the listener, do my work for me and then give me things you're concerned about, and then I'll tell you why it's okay or why it's not okay. So he's worried about Derek Johnson's health / quickness, and then number four, the other inside linebacker position. The Chiefs also have a pretty interesting setup there. I think Derek Johnson is obviously not 100% back physically. It's going to take a little more than a full calendar year to get back. And it's not even been close. Oh, what week was that, Charlie? What week did Derek Johnson get hurt last year?
It was the Raiders game.
Yeah, find that out for me, would you?
So I want to say 12, but I'll look.
Okay. I think a calendar year of Achilles rehab might not be enough to get a guy back at full speed. So I actually think we might be seeing a rare instance right now with Derek Johnson of an aging NFL linebacker getting better as the season goes on, or at least not declining. I think that's got to still be coming back to him.
Week 14.
I mean, man, that's an incredible turnaround. I'm surprised that he's on the field right now, frankly. The decline is still obviously there. The dissolving of an NFL linebacker is something you have to deal with. The other inside linebacker spot is another place where I think it's going to come to fruition. I think the Chiefs see Reggie Ragland being a huge, huge piece of the future here and also of this season. I think they're doing a very good thing by not rushing him back. They're doing a very good thing by not trying to get him on the field before he's ready. The Bills were doing that, and I think making a huge mistake. So I think the Chiefs are doing a good thing there, both for giving Derek Johnson some support later on and also for the future of that position. Number five on this list, Dustin Colquitt. I agree. I'm concerned about Dustin Colquitt also. As an NFL punter right now, he seems essentially average, but he's not being paid as an average NFL punter. They're not going to make a change mid-season with his contract. I'd be very surprised by that, but I do think this will be Dustin Colquitt's last season in Kansas City because he's been supremely average, and he's being paid as one of the best punters in the league. Number six on this list, the tight end. Number two, I think Demetrius Harris is going to continue to serve his role just fine. Now, if we lose Travis Kelce from this team, if Travis Kelce gets suspended at some point or gets ejected for back-to-back personal foul penalties, then I think that there's something to be worried about there, but that's a concern beyond really tight end two. I think Demetrius Harris will be just fine. And number seven, wearing out Kareem Hunt. Yeah, the health of Kareem Hunt, the usage of Kareem Hunt is something that I definitely am cognizant of, but I think that the Chiefs are going to manage that as well as they possibly can. We're going to miss Spencer Ware later on in the season. I believe that for sure. I would love to see Kareem Hunt be used enough and also maintained at a high physical level, but you can't really hedge your bets on that very effectively. It's simply something that you have to kind of roll the dice on. Zach chimed in also and says, for his concern, how is Tom Bahali going to fit into this defense once he's off the PUP list, especially with his frustrations this offseason? I have no idea how he's going to be sort of like emotionally with this team. It seems like he wants to play, and whenever he does play, I think you're going to be getting a fresh, healthy Tom Bahali, something we haven't seen in a long, long time. So whenever he does come off the PUP list, I think he's going to be joining a team that's going to be kind of wearing down throughout an NFL season and going up against offensive lines that are wearing down. So I'm actually excited to see Tom Bahali added back into the mix here. We're going to be seeing probably the best version of him that we could possibly see, a guy who's truly been off for half of the season. Also, David says, Kevin Pierre-Louis and Ukeme Oligwe and Ramik's improvement have shored up my concerns inside linebacker, at least for now. I agree with all of that. It's more depth. It's more of a rotation there. That's also a good thing. David also says, what did Hunt have against the Eagles? It was like 10 to 15 touches, I think, total. It was very few early on. He picked up some more in the second half. I think that's something that Andy Reid is being cognizant of. I think he is keeping an eye on not overworking Kareem Hunt. You're not going to want to give that guy 300 touches or anything like that. That balance, finding that balance of a guy using a guy that your offense largely depends on, juxtaposed to the need to not ruin him as a running back, is a very fragile. It's a very fragile equilibrium, but it's one that the Chiefs are currently living in. All right, whenever we come back, we'll wrap up our Chiefs talk, and then eventually we'll move on to talking about Kevin Durant's secret Twitter account. That's next.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Although a 1-2 punch of Alex Smith and Sam Bradford, that seems like a handsome backfield.
With Joshua Briscoe.
Rodgers, Brady.
Yeah. Not 1-2 necessarily, but that's a handsome
contenders.
Enough.
Contenders.
Yeah, right. That's
who's
not
at the bottom of that list?
Ben Roethlisberger and Peyton Manning.
Is that forehead still expanding?
Yeah, it's like the universe. It just keeps expanding. I don't know how it works.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Welcome back. Sam Bradford and Alex Smith. I'll say this. No, let me rephrase this. Let me save this real quick. Sam Bradford of handsome, the Sam Bradford of handsomeness is Sam Bradford of quarterbacking. Does that make sense? Sam Bradford is to quarterbacking as Sam Bradford is to handsomeness. There it is. Is it ideal? No. Is it perfect? No. Is it Tom Brady? No. Can you score with him? I think so. I was so proud of myself whenever I thought of that double entendre just then. Oh, so proud. This isn't really where I thought the segment was going to go, but up on the screen in front of me, somebody from Alice in Chains is on NFL Fantasy Live's show. I wouldn't recognize him if he walked into the studio with an Alice in Chains t-shirt on. Is this more your speed, Charlie?
No, absolutely not.
Don't talk like that. You like weird old bands.
I like what?
Weird old bands.
Oh, okay.
Your favorite band is the freaking Spaghetti Incident from Calvin and Hobbes.
That's exactly what it is.
What's their name?
The String Cheese Incident.
Whatever.
Mm-hmm. It's good stuff.
They've been together since 1993. That band's older than I am. That's fine. Like whatever you want. But also, their name is the String Cheese Incident. Don't get offended when I say you like weird old bands.
I didn't think you said bands at first, so I kind of...
Noodle Incident was Calvin and Hobbes, by the way. Sorry, what did you say?
I didn't think you said bands at first, so that's kind of why I was like, wait, what?
Weird old bands. Yeah, and Calvin Hobbes, it was the Noodle Incident that was often referred to as the thing you don't talk about. What's the String Cheese Incident?
Also something you don't really talk about. It's a very talented jam band.
A jam band? What is a jam band?
I don't know. Bands that jam out a lot. I don't like, you know, like the Grateful Dead and all that hippie jam bands, that sort of stuff.
Okay, hippie. All right. Kind of a hippie jam band. All right, fine. You said jam band. That's how I think about the...
Like, I would consider Dave Matthews a jam band, like that. Okay. That sort of thing.
All right. That seems fair. I was going to read the Chiefs' little blurb on the power ranking thing to get through the rest of this hour because I didn't have any other Chiefs material prepared to go. But I feel like we talk jam bands. You know what's going to happen? Someone's going to tweet me now and go, man, the String Cheese Incident is older than you are. You make me feel old. Because that happens like twice a week now. As I say something super millennial and somebody goes, oh, no. You're too young. Who drove you to work today? Did your dad drop you off at the station?
Provide you with a sack lunch?
Right. Oh, your mommy packed your lunch and your dad dropped you off. That's adorable.
You're not allowed to listen to bands like these.
Right, there's curses in those lyrics. All right, again, before you at me, we gave you so much good Chief stuff this hour. I don't want to hear about it.